It was a cry of triumph. Look at the word say, a loud voice. You and I know that there are prophecies in the Old Testament that say when Jesus in his ministry, you know, he did not raise his voice ever, but he spoke as he is. But here are times when Jesus cried with a loud voice because it was a voice of triumph. And as he cried out with a voice of triumph at the completion of the works at the cross and yielded his spirit in verse 51, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So something significant happened. While the human beings were still living their lives as normal, something significant happened. And Jesus on the cross, I believe what happened, that the main suffering he had were those times that he was being crucified and when he was hanging on the cross. But when Jesus completed his work, I could see his spirit coming out of the body. And his physical body was there. But his spirit came out. And his spirit didn't come out like, you know, like some tourist stepping out of a bus. Where am I? No. I believe that Jesus' spirit, when he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And there was a loud cry. I don't know what cry that was. You can only imagine. Right? A very good cry would be, Hallelujah! And his spirit came out, yeah! And goes right into the depths of Hades. He jumped straight down into the depths of Hades. He didn't go there, you know, in defeat. He went right into the depths of Hades, and First Peter tells us these things that happened in the book of, look at the epistle of Peter. Tells us that when he came out in chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 18 and 19, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who were formerly were disobedient, who once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few that his eight souls were saved through water. And so it talks about Jesus going down into the depths of Hades. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that he who ascended is also he who descended. So he went right down into Hades, where there were spirits in prison. Remember, all the Old Testament saints were waiting there on one side. If you remember the story of a rich man and a poor man, Lazarus. And so there was a chasm between the two. And one side called Abraham's bosom. And the other side was where all the wicked were. And they cannot cross over. And so all the Old Testament saints were waiting. They were waiting for Christ coming. And then when Jesus came forth, he came into that realm, and the word preach is also the word keruso in the Greek, which also means to proclaim, to announce. So it was not necessary that Jesus went down there and that he was preaching the good news, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and I'm the Son, and whosoever believe in him shall not perish. And now let's have the choir singing, just as I am, without one plea. And what the choir was singing, just as I am. Anybody here who would like to receive Jesus, you know, down in Hades? That didn't happen at all. No! When Jesus Christ came out of his spirit, he went down and he announced, it is done! That's all he announced. He preached, he announced. And the Bible tells us that he took captivity captive. And when he rose from the dead, all the first resurrection, all the souls that will be waiting in the Old Testament, all of them received the first resurrection. You found in Matthew 27 that we read just now, that the bodies rose. Remarkable. There were some bodies that rose, and suddenly for a moment of time, you know, all was must have been chaotic in Jerusalem. There were these people walking about, not as zombies, but glorified bodies. For a moment of time. We don't have it in the Bible, but those who are interested in more research, in the Apocrypha. Okay, got it wrong. Apocrypha. Okay. And in the New Testament Apocrypha, we are told that there are different things. Some of those people went about, and there was one person called Simeon, who remember he died and he saw baby Jesus, and he was one of those resurrected. And this is all additional stories. Treat them as historical stories. And Nicodemus was with the Sanhedrin, and they got hold of Simeon. And Simeon told them in the Apocrypha called the Gospel of Nicodemus. It's not in your Bible. And it talks about how when what happened down there. That there was such a sound that came. And Jesus came down and freed all the people. And Simeon was one of those who was raised from the dead. And so they recorded all this. And when all those things were recorded, Simeon disappeared in his glorified body. He continued to went up in the throne in heaven. So we realize that something marvelous happened. For a moment of time after the resurrection, all of Satan's kingdom was in chaos. Satan has been dealt a death blow. His head was bruised. So his nickname is Mr. Sawhead. His head was bruised and by Jesus. And all the principalities and powers all were torn down, spoiled, and he triumphed over them. All the angels were proclaiming. And while the earth went on as usual, as if nothing was happening, in the heavenly places a lot of things were happening. In Philippians 2, it tells us that when Jesus rose from the dead, there was an announcement in heaven. It says, and let the name of Jesus be the name over all. And let this name be the name that every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things underneath the earth. There was a proclamation. Jesus' name became the name of all the creation that was to be worshipped. There was a proclamation in Philippians chapter 2. We are told, God the Father made the name of Jesus the name that is to be worshipped, adored, and the name that has a seal of authority now. Of things in heaven, of things on the earth, of things underneath the earth. Because remember the name of Jesus, although it means God is my salvation, Yeshua, which means God is my salvation, Jesus in the Greek, God is my salvation. That name was given when Jesus came to this planet in human flesh. Before he came to this planet, he pre-existed. He was not known by the name Jesus. The name Jesus was a revelation in the New Testament. Say, and they shall call the child Jesus. And you know what his name was before the ages and the ages? He was known as the Word. Oh, when he came down in human flesh, he took on that name, Jesus, because he now represented humans too. So when he was raised from the dead, representing God and representing us, the human race, Jesus, God announced in Philippians 2, that the name Jesus is now to be the name of authority of things in heaven. All in heaven shall bow to the name. All on earth shall bow to the name. If they don't bow now, they shall bow one day. And all that is underneath the earth. Look at Philippians 2 very carefully. It says things in heaven, things on the earth, and things underneath the earth. Every demon has to now honor the name of Jesus. So something took place, and I could imagine the whole spiritual realm of Satan was chaotic. There was such a release in the spiritual realm. And that is why after his resurrection, you begin to find the disciples going forth to preach and teach and everything. There was a revival that started. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus spent some time with them. And then Jesus ascended on high. And the 10 days they prayed, the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, and the church moved from glory to glory to glory. Why? Because Satan's kingdom has been demolished. But over the past 2,000 years, Satan has sort of reorganized things here and there. Trying to reestablish himself here and there. And that is why we constantly, as a church, are called to demolish satanic kingdom. And we are constantly called to take authority. Because Satan knows he does not have authority. The only authority he has is, number one, by deception. By deception. If he can convince you that he has power over you, he has. It's through deception. See, if right now you go back to your house where you stay, whether you rent or you own that house, and you find somebody living in that house, you're not going to say, uh-oh, it's no longer my house, and walk off. No, you're going to say, hey, what are you doing in this house? You say, you thief? The person comes out and say, oh, this is my house. They say, no, this is my house. And an argument and end up. And in the end, you have to believe that it is yours. You have to believe that you have the authority to move the person out. If somehow the person convinces you that it is their house, he has authority over you by deception. The other area that he has authority is by historical precedence. Just because for a long time it has happened that way, we assume that belongs to the person. As I told the story of the farmers, that two farmers tend to think that, you know, the borderline between their farm was a particular tree or rock. And then one day they get a surveyor in and they measure. They find, hey, that's not right. It's supposed to be, you know, about 10 or 20 meters off. And the farmers will argue, no, it has always been here in my father's time, in my father-father's time, in my great-grandfather's time. This has always been the boundary. But if they go to the court of law, they lose because you go by the surveyor's compass, so surveyor's calculation, not by the tree that grows there. So it's Satan claims his authority by historical precedence. Because some of us were not born when all those things were happening. This happened 2,000 years ago. Satan has a chance to reorganize himself because the church has fallen from the glory that it should have. At some point, the church began to go more and more worldly. You know, so thousand or hundreds of thousand odd years ago, the church was completely worldly. Lost its spiritual authority. And so Satan reorganized himself over 2,000 years. So sometimes he claims authority by historical precedence. That is sometimes called a familiar spirit. Just because your great-grandfather died at age of 55 of cancer, your father died at age 55 of cancer, and you're thinking, by historical precedence, you're preparing your funeral at the age of 55 of cancer. Why should it be that way? Oh, it's genetics. Doesn't matter what it is. Jesus has the power to heal. Jesus has the power to heal. So by historical precedence, it doesn't mean that it should occur again. Familiar spirits sometimes want to associate saying, oh no, I've been all the time here. Nope. They have no right. So Satan's authority has completely been demolished. Legally, he has lost all his authority. Now we do realize that there are some things that we can do that keep on demolishing his authority and kingdom. Remember that the spiritual realm is not static.